Shalom, everyone. I'm Josiah Jeffrey.
I'm Hosea Jeffrey.
And we're back discussing the Torah portions. This week we're looking at the portion of Mitzorah, which goes from Leviticus 14:1 through 15:33. On some years, this portion is read along with the previous portion called Tazriah, so be sure to check the pinned comment below to see if you should read both portions or just this one this week. We've already read the portion ahead of time, so if you'd like to read it as well, why don't you go ahead and pause the video and do that, and then we'll go ahead and get into discussing.
In Mitzorah, God provides the process for the cleansing of people who have recovered from Tzara'at and the treatment of houses infected with Tzara'at, as well as describing the rules for people who are unclean because of bodily discharges.
So this portion begins with Adonai talking to Moses, prescribing how the priests should cleanse someone who has recovered from the disease of Tzara'at. Now, we discussed Tzara'at quite a bit in the last portion. It's basically a disease which on people shows up as a white spot that turns your hair white, causes festering wounds. It's nasty. And anyone who has the disease needs to go outside the camp because he's unclean and he can't spread his uncleanness throughout the rest of the people. Now here, if someone has recovered from the disease of Tzara'at or leprosy, then the priest needs to go outside the camp and inspect the leper and see if the disease really is gone.
If the disease is indeed healed, then the priest takes scarlet yarn and hyssop and cedar wood and two birds, and then he kills one of the birds, and he takes the blood, and he dips the yarn and the wood and the hyssop and the live bird in the blood of the dead bird. And then he sprinkles the blood on the former leper, and he releases the live bird who was dipped in the blood of the dead bird out into the countryside. At this point, the man shaves himself, and he washes his clothes and himself, and then he is clean. But the cleansing is sort of an incremental process, because it says that he's clean at this point, but even though he can come into the camp, he still can't go into his tent. So he has to wait a week, at which point he then shaves again and washes his clothes and his body again, and then he's clean. I guess he's cleaner. He's clean enough that he can go to the entrance of the tent of meeting, and he brings a bunch of offerings. He's actually supposed to bring three lambs, one for a guilt offering and one for a sin offering and one for a burnt offering, along with a grain offering and oil. It's a pretty big offering. The man is then sprinkled with the blood and with the oil of his offerings, and they're put on his ear, his thumb, and his big toe. And with the rest of the oil, it says that it's put on the head of him who is to be cleansed. And so through these offerings, the priest makes atonement for him, and then he's completely clean. Good as new. We also see here two concepts that we've already explored a bit. One of which is that the leper needs a sin offering and a guilt offering, even though technically he didn't sin.
He didn't do anything wrong.
But as we've said, it's that atonement that's necessary to cleanse the people, to make them able to be in the holy camp in God's dwelling place.
Right. Any uncleanness separates the people of Israel from God. They can't go near the sanctuary. So any kind of uncleanness needs atonement. And in order to have atonement, you need to have a sin offering.
And then the other point is that there's an exception here for if the person is too poor to pay the price. Once again, if the person cannot pay three whole lambs, then the price can be reduced to one lamb and two turtle doves or two pigeons, whichever he can afford. The process remains more or less the same. One of the birds just replaces the lamb of the sin offering, and one of the birds replaces the lamb of the burnt offering. So once again, we see God granting that provision for the people who can't afford the full price.
Now, before we move on from this section, I did want to note that a few times in the New Covenant scriptures, it says that Yeshua himself encountered lepers, and he healed them. He cleansed them and made them not have the disease anymore. And each time, he specifically tells them to present themselves before the priest, before the Kohen, and also to present the offerings that are prescribed in Torah. So even though there's miraculous intervention that's wiping out any trace of Tzara'at on these people, Yeshua makes sure that they always follow the Torah, follow what's prescribed, and get those cleansing offerings. So we've been discussing Tzara'at in this portion and the previous portion. And there's one more aspect to Tzara'at that needs to be covered before we can finally move on from this really weird disease. And that's that Tzara'at can infect people's houses. We had seen in the last portion that Tzara'at can infect garments of clothing. But here, we see that it also infects people's houses. What's really weird is that God says, when you enter the land of Canaan, which I gave you for a possession, and I put a mark of leprosy on a house in the land of your possession, then the one who owns the house shall come and tell the priest. So God is saying that he will put Tzara'at in houses. There's no explanation to why. It just says that God is the one who will do it. So if, for whatever reason, God decides to put Tzara'at in someone's house, they have to go and tell the priest. The priest investigates, and it's very similar to what we read previously about Tzara'at on a piece of clothing. What the priest is looking for is a greenish or a reddish spot on the walls of the person's home. If this mark appears to go deeper than just the surface of the wall, then he has to quarantine the house for 7 days and then come back again and see. If, after 7 days, the mark has spread, then they need to scrape off all the plaster in the house and remove all of the infected stones in the area. Then they need to repair the hole, replaster the house, and take what they removed from the house out to an unclean place outside the camp. And if the infection of Tzara'at doesn't resurface, the priest then cleanses the house by doing the same kind of ritual that he would have done for the leper, where he has the two birds, he kills one, dips the live one in the blood, and sets it free and all that. However, if after these repairs are done, the Tzara'at comes back, then the priest comes and just verifies, yep, the Tzara'at came back. And at that point, the entire house needs to be demolished. The house is labeled unclean. Anyone who goes inside is unclean. Anyone who lays there or eats there is unclean. And the entire house needs to be demolished, and all of the rubble needs to be taken outside the camp. So again, discussing the concept that we talked about in the last portion, this disease is insidious. And if it remains, then the entire house is irredeemable. It has to be completely destroyed. And so again, just to reiterate the point that we made in the last video, this can be spiritually applied if there's uncleanness in our lives. Uncleanness can be in the form of sin or wickedness or fleshly desires and thoughts that we're allowing to linger in our lives. If those are lingering in certain aspects of our lives, but we keep finding ourselves going back to that same fleshliness and uncleanness, then we have to get rid of that entire aspect of our lives. That entire aspect of our lives is irredeemable. It needs to be destroyed so that we can be clean for God. It reminds me of what Yeshua said, where he says, if your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out and throw it away from you. If your hand or your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away from you. Anything that is lingering in your life and you cannot stop it from causing you to walk in sin, then you just have to get rid of the whole thing, no matter the cost. So after this, Leviticus 15 is all about the uncleanness of bodily discharges from men and women. It's one of the nastiest chapters in all the Torah, if not the whole Bible, and it describes multiple different kinds of emissions and discharges and issues and how they're unclean, how to be clean from them. It's really nasty. But it's all summed up at the end of this chapter when it says, "Thus you shall keep the sons of Israel separated from their uncleanness, so that they will not die in their uncleanness by their defiling my tabernacle, which is among them." This whole chapter is describing different kinds of uncleannesses that the people of Israel need to be aware of. And it says that when someone becomes unclean, anything they touch and anyone they touch also becomes unclean. So this chapter is describing how the people of Israel might become unclean so that they will avoid that uncleanness, know when they're unclean, so that way they don't bring that grossness into God's really holy areas and incur guilt and die.
So basically, there are two kinds of uncleanness covered in this chapter. One of them is the kind where you're unclean for as long as you have the discharge, which may be a prolonged period, plus 7 days. And this kind of uncleanness is significant enough that on the eighth day, as with Tzara'at, you have to bring sacrifices for a sin offering and a burnt offering to be cleansed. The other kind of uncleanness is mostly uncleanness indirectly, when you've touched something that someone unclean has touched, or if you've touched that unclean person, or it says if an unclean person spits on you. And in all these cases, you're required to wash your clothes and bathe yourself, and then you're unclean until the evening. So no sacrifices are needed for this kind of uncleanness. But in order to be cleansed, you have to wash yourself.
And again, to reiterate, this kind of uncleanness simply means that you can't go near the tabernacle or any of the holy things. If you go near the holy things while you're unclean, then you could incur guilt and die. So this is just to make sure that everyone who approaches the tabernacle or the temple is clean, and they haven't been in contact with anyone else who is unclean. Now, one of the verses here actually reminds me of someone that Yeshua healed. The verse says, "Now, if a woman has a discharge of her blood many days, all the days of her impure discharge, she shall continue as though in her menstrual impurity. She is unclean." Now, the Gospels tell of one instance where there's a woman who had a continuous flow of blood, like described here, for 12 years. She spent all that she had on doctors, and nothing could fix it, so she constantly had this flow of blood. It wasn't until she saw Yeshua walking through a crowd, and she was like, "If I can just touch his clothes, I'll be healed." And so she reached out, touched Yeshua's garment, and she was healed. And Yeshua was like, "Who touched me? I felt power go out from me." And so she comes forward and says, "I touched you." And Yeshua says, "Go, your faith has saved you." So in this instance, that woman was not simply suffering from a chronic illness that was debilitating. She was suffering from an illness which made her unclean. Like the lepers that we've read about, she was unclean, and people couldn't go near her and touch what she touched or touch her for 12 years without becoming unclean themselves. So this disease would have caused her to be avoided, and she herself couldn't have drawn near the holy place. She couldn't go to the temple for 12 years. And by reaching out and touching Yeshua's garment, she was healed from that. And she was healed from that being outcast from the people of Israel.
Again, like you said, Yeshua's response to the woman who touched him was, "Go, your faith has saved you." This woman was afflicted by uncleanness, but she was saved from her uncleanness because she had faith in Yeshua. We also see this in what Yeshua said to some of the lepers he cleansed. When they came to him in faith, and they said things like, "If you are willing, you are able to cleanse me." His response was to heal them. And he said to them, "Go, your faith has saved you." So we see that both the people with tzara'at and the people with discharges or any kind of uncleanness who were separated from God are able to be restored and to come near to God if they have the faith to be saved from their uncleanness through Yeshua. So also for all of us who are separated from God because of the uncleanness of our sin, if we have faith in Yeshua, he can cleanse us. He can save us.
There's another verse I wanted to bring up in relation to this topic, which is in Isaiah 64:6. "For all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment. And all of us wither like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away." Now it says here that our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment. In some translations, it's a polluted garment. The word here for filthy or polluted actually means menstruation. What this is saying is that our righteousness is like a menstruation garment. It's got the discharges all over it. It's disgusting. And like we saw with the discharges, anything who comes into contact with the one who had the discharges becomes unclean. Our sins, when in contact with our righteousness, makes our righteousness unclean. That's why we can never be righteous enough to earn our salvation, to earn our righteousness, to earn our way into heaven, because our sins make our righteousness unclean. And the only way to get cleaned is through faith in Yeshua. Our own righteousness can't make us clean because of our sin. The only solution is through Yeshua, is through his sacrifice for us, which cleanses us.
The essential part we see for becoming clean in all of these uncleannesses is washing yourselves and washing your garments. So I wanted to point this to something that we see in the book of Revelation about washing your garments. "After these things, I saw, and look, a large crowd, which no one was able to number, out of all the world ethnicities and nations and peoples and languages, standing in the presence of the throne and in the presence of the Lamb, wrapped around in white robes. These are those who are coming out of the great oppression, and they washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Because of this, they are in the presence of the throne of God, and they do service to him day and night in his temple. And he who is sitting upon the throne will dwell over them. They will not hunger anymore, nor thirst anymore, because the Lamb that is in the middle of the throne will feed them and will lead them to fountains of water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. So just as the people of Israel were being told, you have to wash your clothes to be clean, everyone who wants to come near to God has to wash their robes in the blood of the Lamb. Normally you would think blood would stain, blood would make it red, but no, it says when you wash it in the blood, it becomes white. It becomes totally, completely clean. And as a result of that, they're able to be in his temple. The unclean ones cannot go to God's holy place. They are separated from that. They cannot come near to God because if they do, they will incur guilt and die. But if washing physical clothes in water cleans them, then how much more will us cleansing our garments, our spiritual robes, in the blood of Messiah, make us clean from every uncleanness so that we can come near to God without that guilt, without that uncleanness polluting our righteous deeds, so that we can come near and serve him. And so I think that's the main application, is that we need to wash ourselves in the blood of Messiah. So long as we remain in the uncleanness of our sins, it pollutes any righteousness we try to do. It completely cuts us off from God, and it taints everything we touch, even other people. But the cleansing of Messiah changes us. It makes it so that we are acceptable to God, so that we can come near to him and serve him, and he will feed us and provide everlasting life for us in his presence. And in order to receive that, all we have to do is have the devotion of those lepers and that unclean woman who had the faith to come near to Yeshua, who recognized their own uncleanness and recognized that they were cut off from God, and they knew that they would have salvation from that uncleanness if they could just get near Yeshua. Yeshua will never drive away anyone who comes to him. So come to him in faith so that he may wash you. And if you wash yourself in the blood of his sacrifice, you will truly be clean and you will truly be able to serve him in his presence forever.
That wraps up the portion of Mitzorah. Next week, we'll be looking at the portion of Achrei Mot, so be sure to tune in for that. Thanks so much for watching. Be sure to like, share, comment, subscribe, and hit the notification bell to keep updated on new episodes. And if you would, please consider sending us a donation to help us make more videos like these. We would really appreciate it. Thanks again for watching, and we'll see you next week. God bless.
As well as describing the rules for people who are unclean because of bodily discharges. As well as describing the rules for people who are unclean because of bodily discharges. As well as describing the rules for people who are unclean because of bodily discharges.
Stop it now! You gotta get good.
As well as describing the rules for people who are unclean because of bodily discharges.
That was so hard. Oh my goodness.
Oh my goodness.